This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والجنة للموحدين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والصلاة والسلام الأكملان الأتمان على الركن الأعظم أفضل من تقدم ومن تأخر وعلى آله وأصحابه الغر الميامين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى، صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, and the esteemed listeners out there. Yesterday we discussed the final advices in the life of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and somewhat we elaborated on both prayer and kindness to our subjects and employees, etc. And then we spoke about the fact that إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَبْقَى مِن مُبَشِّرَاتِ النُّبُوَّةِ إِلَّا الرُّؤْيَا, that nothing remains from the glad tidings, nothing remains from the glad tidings of prophethood other than a ru'ya, a true dream. يَرَاهَ الْعَبْدُ الصَّالِحِ, that a pious servant sees it, أَوْ تُرَى لَهُ, or someone sees it on his behalf. In fact, the scholars unanimously agree, there's almost jumhur and ittifaq on this here, that in this verse of the Quran, in the 11 juz in Surah Yunus, where Allah says, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, that the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no fear and grief for them. لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, for them is glad tidings in this world. Most of the Mufassirin interpret Bushra in the context of this ayah as a good dream which a person himself sees or someone sees it on his behalf. We move on to the next narration, and as I indicated yesterday, 3 days, so you can appreciate how challenging and how daunting and how close the moments were and how close we are to the sad demise of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr yusalli bil muslimin. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu leads the congregation and the believers in prayer. ولما اشتد المرض بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وحضرت الصلاة, when the pain intensified and the time of prayer set in, أذن بلال, بلال رضي الله عنه called out the أذان. Can you imagine this here? You say we have the Muadhin of Medina, we have the Imam of the Haram, and rightfully so, they are calling out the أذان at the sacred masjid of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. But this is Sayyidina Bilal, appointed by the Master صلى الله عليه وسلم himself. Mali asma'u daffan alayka wara'i fil jannah, Bilal, I hear your footsteps behind me in Jannah. Fa'adhana Bilal, Bilal calls out the adhan. Qala an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, muru Aba Bakrin fal yusalli, tell Abu Bakr to lead them in prayer. And this was a clear testimony, because in these last few days, once Nabi alayhi salam had called the Sahaba and he said, I want to write down that Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu will be in charge after me. And then he said, it's fine, I'm not going to spell it out in detail. Ya'aballahu wal muslimoon, Allah won't allow it to happen otherwise. Allah will not allow it to happen otherwise, but that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu will succeed me. And yes, there is a narration in the authentic books of hadith where a woman comes and she says, O Nabi of Allah, what happens if one day I come and you are not here? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Abu Bakr will be here, Abu Bakr will be here, radiallahu anhu wa arda. فقيل إن أبا بكر رجل أسيف. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, tell Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to lead the prayer, someone said that Abu Bakr is raqiqul qalb, he is very soft natured, he is very soft by his temperament. If he stands in your place, he'll be very emotional, O Nabi of Allah, and he will break down and he will cry. إن أبا بكر رجل أسيف إذا قام مقامك, أي رقيق القلب, شِدَّةُ الْحُزْنِ, he's prone to be gripped by sorrow. The moment will be too daunting. He will be overwhelmed by the moment to know that this is where you led. I don't think he will able to hold himself, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ أَنْ يُصَلِّي بِالنَّاسِ, he won't able to lead. وَأَعَادَ, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tell Abu Bakr to lead the congregation. فَأَعَادُ عَلَيْهِ, the response from those around was the same. The response from those around, and Aisha radiallahu anha was of course amongst them as well, and she in particular was trying to dissuade Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that, O Nabi of Allah, put someone else in this place and not my father Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. فَأَعَادَ الثَّالِثَ, back and forth, she is asking to excuse him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is impressing upon them that let Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu lead the congregation. And then he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Inna kunna sawahibu Yusuf. You people are like the female companions in the time of Yusuf alayhi salam. You people are, now understand this here, it's 3 days. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not well. He said Abu Bakr should lead. This gives off a great position, rank, status for Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and also gives off a hint to the fact that as he is making this imamah, he will be the Khalifa after my demise. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was not officially appointed by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but in many ahadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam hinted, referenced it, implied it, etc. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then officially appointed Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu then made the committee of 6 people. We know there are, you know, it, throughout the Khulafa there's different situations in the appointment of each one. But there were multiple ahadith in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam impressed and implied and hinted to the inevitable appointment of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So every time he's saying Abu Bakr, they say no. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna kunna sawahibu Yusuf. You are like the female companions in the time of Yusuf alayhi salam. Now, what was the tashbih that was given here? Wal murad annahunna mithlu sawahibi Yusuf fi idhari khilafi ma fil batin. Just as they said something verbally which was contrary to what was in their hearts. In their hearts was something else. They were saying to the minister's wife that, you know what, Imra'atu al-Azizi turawidu fataha an nafsi qad shaghafaha hubba inna lanaraha fi dalalin mubin. That the minister's wife is infatuated over Yusuf, over her servant. قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّا إِقَدْ دَخَلَ حُبُّهُ فِي شِغَافِ قَلْبِهَا. That the affection of Yusuf has entered the depth and the recesses of her heart. إِنَّا لَنَرَاهَا فِي ظَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. She is in manifest error. But this was their expression. But internally, they wanted to see the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam himself. So they verbalized something, but in the heart was conceding something else. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you people are saying that no, he's rajulun asifun, he's soft natured, he's gentle, he's raqiqul qalb, he will cry. But the reasons are otherwise. The reasons are otherwise. Let Abu Bakr lead the prayer. فَخَرَجَ Abu Bakrin. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then comes out. فَوَجَدَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِفَّةٌ. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes out and to lead the prayer. فَوَجَدَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي نَفْسِهِ خِفَّةٌ. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found himself to be a bit more rejuvenated. He felt a bit more light. He felt a bit more easy. He felt a bit more relaxed. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came out to lead. And as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt a bit more relaxed, Abu Bakr tried to step back. فأراد أبو بكر أن يتأخر. He wanted to step back. فأومأ إليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن مكانك. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم gestured him and signaled him that Abu Bakr, just hold your post and your position and don't move from there. ثم أتي به. And he صلى الله عليه وسلم was then brought along. حتى جلس إلى جنبه, until he sat alongside Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه. قيل للأعمش, أعمش who's the narrator was asked, فكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي وأبو بكر يصلي بصلاته والناس يصلون بصلاة أبي بكر فقال برأسه نعم. So أعمش was asked, was it that Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم was performing the prayer and Abu Bakr was following alongside the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and the congregation was following alongside Abu Bakr? He nodded with his head, yes. فَقَالَ بِرَأْسِهِ نَعَمْ. He nodded, yes. Now, I read in Sirat al-Mustafa with reference to the writings of Imam Ghazali in his famous Ihya'ul Ulum. In there, it's mentioned a quotation of Aisha radiallahu anha, and you can reference it there, where she herself spelt it out, why she was skeptical and apprehensive for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to lead the post. She said that my father always kept himself away from any position or any point of authority or power or any form of wealth or anything of this nature. And I didn't want this position to taint him or for people to harbor negativity against him or for people to have jealousy against him. So it was just not leading the prayer. But she understood that Imamate Sughra was leading to Imamate Kubra. That leadership in prayer was symbolic to leading the state. Leading the state in all political affairs and matters. And the Messenger ﷺ's appointment of Abu Bakr to the station of Imamat in prayer was setting the tone and setting the record correctly that going ahead, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu will lead you. And this is why she was skeptical and apprehensive about her father, that the responsibility that comes beyond would be too daunting. But of course, fate and destiny had it, and Allah had decreed this honor. Hence, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took the position of Khilafah, he said, I never prayed for it once. مَا سَأَلْتُ اللَّهَ سِرًّا وَلَا عَلَانِيَةً. I never asked Allah for the position of being the Khalifa privately or openly. فَهِيَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَرْدُودًا. So I return this position to you. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, Who can dismiss you from the post? وَقَدْ قَدَّمَكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. When Allah's Nabi appointed you, and everybody unanimously accepted the position of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We move on. السَّاعَاتُ الْأَخِيرَ مِنْ حَيَاتٍ مُصْطَفَى صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The final hours, moments, seconds, nay, split seconds in the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kana Abu Bakrin yusalli bil muslimin. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was now leading the people in prayer. What an honor and privilege in the presence. I mean, if you look at the whole context, and I just have a flash of it now in my mind, of Salatul Khawf, Salatul Khawf. Right? Allah speaks about it in the fifth juz in great detail. And if you look at Abu Dawud and the other books of hadith, there are multiple explanations to Salatul Khawf. So Salatul Khawf is in battle. And again, this impresses the importance of prayer. You are in battle and it's the time of prayer and everybody wants to perform prayer behind a common imam. And of course, that would be the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because who would want to settle for any less? Who would want to settle for any less that, okay, you perform salah behind Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I will perform salah behind someone else. No. Can you imagine the honor and the privilege? And the prayer has to be performed. At the same time, a person needs to be vigilant because the battle is in process. So the group will then get divided into two, you know, groupings and two battalions. And the Imam, being the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the context of the revelation of this verse, etc., he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will perform one unit of prayer and half the army will perform prayer with him and the other half will stand and resist the enemy and engage in battle. And after one unit of prayer, this group will leave, group A will leave and group B will come and they will perform the one unit of prayer behind the Imam. In doing so, in this division, where one would be in battle and the other one would be in prayer, and one unit of prayer would be performed respectively by the two groups, allowing them all the honor and the privilege to perform salah behind the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَلْتَقُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا أَسْلِحَتَهُمْ فَإِذَا سَجَدُوا فَلْيَكُونُوا مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ وَلْتَأْتِ طَائِفَةٌ أُخْرَى لَمْ يُصَلُّوا فَلْيُصَلُّوا مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا حِذْرَهُمْ وَأَسْلِحَتَهُمْ وَدَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ تَغْفُلُونَ عَنْ أَسْلِحَتِكُمْ وَأَمْتِعَتِكُمْ فَيَمِيلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَيْلَةً وَاحِدَةً. And the enemies are just waiting in ambush to pounce on you, that if you become unmindful of your weapons, they will strike. But there's a whole detailed explanation, and it's a very detailed academic discussion. But all this was done, two things, that prayer cannot be omitted. And secondly, to allow for everyone the honor to perform salah behind the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, if there isn't that form of privilege or opportunity or common desire to lead behind a common imam, then, you know, the books of fiqh will tell you that one imam will lead one group and they will complete their prayer, the others will be in battle. When this group completes the entire prayer, they will then go in the front line and the other group will return and perform prayer. But in the instance with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Salatul Khawf, that's not the case. The ulama will know precisely what I'm alluding to here, is the group will be divided, etc. The point I want to impress from this is that was the concession made so that everyone could have the honor and the privilege of performing salah behind Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And subhanallah, while Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alive, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is given the honor and the opportunity to lead the congregation. Who can then refute the merit, the virtue, the significance and the status of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? كان أبو بكر رضي الله عنه يصلي بالمسلمين حتى إذا كان يوم الاثنين وهم صفوف في صلاة الفجر. It's Monday and they have formed the rows and it is the Fajr prayer. كشف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ستر الحجرة. نبي صلى الله عليه وسلم moves the curtain of his blessed apartment. ينظر إلى المسلمين and he glances to the believers. Oh my Allah, oh my Allah. وهم وقوف أمام ربهم while they stand in prayer. Face, you know, in prayer before their Lord. وَرَآ كَيْفَ أَثْمَرَ غَرْسَ دَعْوَتِهِ And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is now seeing how his fruit, how his plantation and how his seeds have now mushroomed and how the trees are bearing fruit of his toiling, his effort, his tarbiyah. You know, you made an effort on someone and Allah guided him. And you could remember the time in his pre-Islam or in his days of darkness, the same young man was walking on the street, probably his ears were pierced, his entire body was pierced, he was not sober, he was walking from right to left at the odd hour. And now you see this young man clad and attired in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know what, giving da'wah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his gaze lowered, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see this metamorphic change. It's going to bring tears in the eyes of any person. لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ مُصْعَبًا هَذَا وَمَا بِمَكَّةَ فَتًا أَنْعَمُ إِنْدَ أَبَوَيْهِ مِنْهُ لَقَدْ تَرَكَ ذَلِكَ كُلَّهُ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seen Mus'ab and he was scantily dressed because of lack of provisions and he was modest and humble and he said, I remember how flamboyant and affluent this young man was and he had abandoned all this comfort and luxury for the pleasure of Allah. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's now like few hours left before he's leaving the world, and he moves the curtain and he glances into the blessed and the sacred masjid sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Bakr is leading the congregation, the rows are formed, the Fajr salah has been performed, and he looked at them committed, devoted, in that spirit of submission, and he tears out of joy. وكيف نشأت أمة تحافظ على الصلاة and how this ummah is now rallying around the importance of prayer وتواظب عليها بحضرة نبيها وغيبته and how they honoring the obligation of prayer in the presence of the Nabi of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and even in his separation, meaning he's fatally ill now, he's critically ill and he's on his way out, but they're holding on to the values. They're holding on to the values. And as a parent, that's what you want to see. You see your children rally together out of muhabba and affection, and you just wish the day I'm gone, each one can still call on the other and they will still have that same brotherhood. And then you're like, you know what, I'm ready to leave and I'm ready to go. If this is the selflessness you can display, and I'm optimistic you will continue this beyond my death, then I could sigh with relief. وَقَدْ قَرَّتْ عَيْنُهُ بِهَذَا الْمَنْظَرِ الْبَهِيجِ And this was most soothing and comforting to the eye of Nabi alayhi salam. لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَقَرَّ لِعَيْنِ الْمُؤْمِنِ مِنْ أَنْ يَرَى زَوْجَتَهُ وَأَوْلَادَهُ مُطِيعِينَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ Surely there could be nothing more soothing and comforting to the eye of a believer than to see his spouse and children in the obedience of Allah. I often say, how wealthy that man is and how wealthy that woman is that you walk in the house and you knock on the door is closed, because that's the norm with many of the youth today. The door is closed. You knock on and you gently open it and you find one youngster, one son of yours on the prayer mat in prostration, and you get into the other room and the other one is busy supplicating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I urge the youth, there are many a youth who perform salah, but wallah, there are very few youth who make dua. Rotate your gaze and you will see. I observe this year, Not that I consciously look for this, but unfortunately I just see that there's an emptiness of youth in our masajid, although somewhat it's happening, but by and large not in the numbers it ought to be. And those that are performing salah, a very small segment of those youth turn to Allah in dua. So a young man in his prime making dua to Allah, it just cannot be better. And then you want to use the bathroom, and then you knock on the door, and probably your daughter's foot is in the basin, and she's just completing the rituals of ablution. Well, my brother and my sister, even if you don't have a palace and you don't have anything, exclusive, but if that's the norm and that's the setup of your house, you are a wealthy man and you are a wealthy woman, oh my sister. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes solace from this. وبهذا النجاح الذي لم يقدر لنبي أو داع قبله واطمأن أن صلة هذه الأمة بهذا الدين. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes comfort from this, that the bond and the relation of this ummah with prayer, with deen is intact. And this was an opportunity and a privilege that was exclusive to him. No other da'i or prophet ever enjoyed this opportunity as he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enjoyed it. فَمُلِئَ مِنَ السُّرُورِ مَاللَّهُ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ وَاسْتَنَارَ وَجْهُهُ وَهُوَ مُنِيرٌ. Wow. Only Allah knows how much joy this brought to the blessed heart of Nabi alayhi salam. And it added a greater sense of radiance to his luminous face. So his blessed and luminous face always had this effulgence and brightness. It only added to that brightness. يقول الصحابة رضي الله عنهم, the noble companion say, كشف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ستر عائشة رضي الله عنها. Nabi alayhi salatu was salam moved the curtain from the apartment of Aisha radiallahu anha, yanzuru ilayna, and he was glancing towards us, wahuwa qa'im, ka'anna wajhahu waraqatu mushafin. His face was so beautiful, was so radiant, was so luminous, like the page of the Quran, of the mushaf. Thumma tabassama yadhak, and then he smiled on. Fa hamamna an naftatin min al farah. You know, we were ecstatic, we were elated, we were jubilant, we could jump with joy because now there's some movement. There's, you know, a person is sick, he's not eating, he's not talking, and then you go and he smiles and there's a chuckle, or probably he makes a joke with someone and then he asks to eat something or he inquires about something. So there's some hopes of recovery. You can imagine that sense of joy that it brings to a person. And this is Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَظَنَنَّا أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam خَارِجٌ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. And we thought probably he's coming out to join in the prayer. فَأَشَارَ إِلَيْنَا أَنْ أَتِمُّوا صَلَاتَكُمْ. He gestured us, continue with your prayer, continue with your prayer. وَدَخَلَ الْحُجْرَةَ وَأَرْخَ السِّتْرَ. He then entered into the room and he dropped the curtain down. وَانْصَرَفَ بَعْضُ الصَّحَابَةِ إِلَى أَعْمَالِهِمْ. So this response from Nabi alayhi salam, he opened, he smiled, he moved. It gave Sahaba a sense that the Nabi of Allah is recovering. And this happens often. This happens often that just prior to demise, if I can use the phrase a false alarm, right? A false alarm, we use it in different contexts. This is also a false sense of joy that happens in many people. You know what, 2 days before he spoke, he got up, he said, no, I'm coming home, in the weekend we're going, we got this commitment, next week we fly. And the discussion was so positive that everybody latched on, people kind of relaxed, get back into your mundane things, and we'll take it from there. And exactly this type of communication gave off a notion, but they were sadly mistaken, that probably the Prophet ﷺ is on his road to recovery. And of course, you're optimistic from every gesture into a potential, a positive interpretation. وَدَخَلَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ عَلَى بْنَتِهِ عَائِشَةً. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes to visit his daughter Aisha radiallahu anha. وَقَالَ مَا أَرَى رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَّا قَدْ أَقْلَعَ عَنْهُ الْوَجَعَ. He said, I think the pain and the agony of Nabi alayhi salam has now disappeared and he's recovering. And today is the day of my other wife, Bint Kharija, Ihda Zawjatihi, one of the other spouses of Nabi alayhi salatu, of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So obviously he was attending to Nabi alayhi salam and he could not go and visit her. And when he seen the sense of recovery, he said, okay, I'm going to visit my other spouse because, you know, things are looking a bit more calm, more relaxed and more stable. وَكَانَتْ تَسْكُنْ بِالسُّنْحِ. And she was living in a place called Sunh, which many people today explain in Awali. Once when we were in Medina, a person took me and he said, this is the place where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's other wife was staying, and that was where he went and visited her in those last 2 to 3 days of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَرَكِبَ عَلَىٰ فَرَسِهِ وَذَهَبَ إِلَىٰ مَنْزِلِهِ. He got onto his mount and off he went to visit his spouse. But this joy was very, very short-lived. This form of rejuvenation and movement and smiling from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam took a drastic turn shortly thereafter. And inshallah we will continue from here. And that brings us now to 2 days. That now brings us to literally hours prior to the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us, to bless us also with a death, that prior to us leaving, we are privileged to see that our spouse, our children, our near and dear ones are in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, compliant to the orders of Allah, that it could be comforting to our eyes, it could be soothing to our heart. What an honor and a privilege for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you know what, his toiling had paid off, his goal was accomplished, and surely this was exclusive to he sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَنْ تَأَمَّلَ حُسْنَ تَدْبِيرِهِ لِلْعَرَبِ الَّذِينَ هُمْ كَالْوَحْشِ الشَّارِدِ مَعَ الطَّبِعِ الْمُتَنَافِرِ الْمُتَبَاعِدِ وَكَيْفَ سَاسَهُمْ وَاحْتَمَلَ جَفَاهُمْ وَصَبَرَ عَلَى أَذَاهُمْ إلى أن انقادوا إليه وتركوا في رضاه أوطانهم من غير ممارسة سبقت له تحقق له أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أعقل العالمين. That anybody who reflects over the charisma of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that how he brought about this metamorphic change in a short span of 23 years and molded this nation and brought them to this amazing level of unity and congregation and selflessness and devotion, will be compelled to accept that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most intelligent of all humans. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire us with the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that we continue to read and learn and draw lessons from his impeccable legacy. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.